Fighting for America.
U.S. District Magistrate Judge Candy Dale now ruling the state must begin issuing licenses to same-sex couples.
This court has taken upon itself a radical attempt to redefine marriage.
Fighting for Idaho.
The first person I called was my mom, and she said, I'm so proud of you, Abby.
The United States Supreme Court is going to have to answer this question.
It is a good day.
They move to a place, they assess it like vermin, they change it, and then they destroy it, and then they move on and do it to the next place.
Fighting for you.
And you have your choice, folks. A cowboy, a curmudgeon, a biker, or a normal guy. Take your pick. Thank you very much. We're leaving it up to you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I don't want to get in trouble.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And let's see. We're waiting for Senator Fulcher. He's going to be here. We'll get to him. But before that, we'll talk about the veterans controversy. Amid contrived outrage over Benghazi and the improving fortunes of its health care reform, the Obama administration could be facing a genuine scandal about its treatment of military veterans that has the potential to attract broad political condemnation of its competence. The Department of Veteran Affairs is facing mounting evidence that some of the hospitals it runs have been keeping two sets of books to make it look as if we're reducing waiting times to see a doctor. Now, I know a lot of people that are veterans. And in all seriousness, I'm very humbled when veterans come back home and they say, Kevin, thank you for sticking up for us. Look, I'm not going to smack myself, but I'm a jellyfish compared to the heroic nature of our service people and their families. And I wish most of us in Idaho, most of us in America would feel the same way. And when I hear stories like this, it makes me uncomfortable. And we have a great relationship with our friends at the Veterans Administration in Boise, the Veterans Home, the Veterans Hospital. Phil, God bless him, does such a great job there. But folks, we have these billions of dollars that we're spending. Why in the world can we not take a look at how we're treating our veterans? Why in the world can we not take a look and say to ourselves, guys, we have to do better and not make it about politics? I think that's the serious issue. And you know something? People are saying to me, somebody said to me the other day, Kevin Miller, you need to go down to the veterans' home in Boise and see how long it takes these heroes, these gentlemen, these ladies, to get medical treatment. It's humiliating. The doctors, the nurses, the staff, they're great, but the amount of paperwork and everything else is just horrendous. And they're talking about a scandal with President Obama. They're talking about this could be the thing that, sinks the Obama ship. But this is a condemnation on all of us. We're a generous, prosperous nation. The veterans should have first-class medical care. And whether there's a problem with the VA, I mean, the idea that they're having two sets of books, that 40 people have died in Phoenix, Arizona. More damning, the department is investigating the claims of a whistleblower doctor in Arizona that dozens of patients in one hospital died while they were languishing on a hidden waiting list without ever being given an appointment. Amazing. Amazing. So at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, what needs to be done about this? What needs to be done about our veterans? And maybe that's something that the next governor here in the state of Idaho can talk about. You know, our VA situation. And we get federal dollars. And we get everything else. Maybe that's something that that the legislature can take a look at. Maybe that's something that we can take a look at instead of raising taxes and everything else. I think that's the big issue. But our veterans that we've done so much for and embroiled in this scandal at 580 KIDO, think about this as we're moving along. Think about the scandal. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're joined now by Senator Fulcher. Senator Fulcher, good morning.
Kevin, good morning. How are you doing?
You know, I've got the big chair right next to you there, and I guess that it's a lot more comfortable. Our listening audience here will not understand that, but those playing the video game version at home will get that. So you've got a little bit more comfortable for you.
Thank you.
You know, we'll talk a little bit more about what we discussed earlier, but at 580 KIDO, when we first talked to you, you were going on your listening tour. You've listened. You've campaigned. You've debated. You've had debates about the debate. Your thoughts as a person, how has this changed you, this campaign?
It has given me an even greater appreciation for just how rich this state is. And I mean that in terms of human resources and natural resources. There are so many good people who have stepped up to help with what we're attempting to do, who have bought into the vision, who agree with that, who have stood next to me to wage this campaign. And I'm just excited. I couldn't be more bullish about the future of Idaho.
Now, before we get to some other things about the campaign, I've got to ask you a couple issues, and I haven't heard your thoughts. Maybe there was a news release that I missed it. Your thoughts on the same-sex ruling, the Ninth Circuit coming to Idaho's defense, in other words, what I like to refer to as the gays.
Well, first of all, I think that Idahoans don't tolerate discrimination, nor should they. At the same time, I think our current laws do a pretty good job in that area. And when I heard about that ruling, to be honest, I was a bit surprised, because there was a Supreme Court ruling, I think it was U.S. versus Windsor, that pretty clearly gives the states and the people of the state the right to define marriage within their state. And that's what Idaho did. Idaho did that in 2006. And I was in the legislature when that happened. That passed the House by 2/3, passed the Senate by 2/3, and went to a vote of the people, and nearly passed by 2/3 by the entire voting population of Idaho. So that's what the people of Idaho have said about marriage in this state, and I stand with the people of Idaho.
How do you see that playing out?
I think it's going to go back to the Supreme Court, and if they're consistent, they'll side the same way they did in that Windsor case.
Let's move on to the campaign. We go to the phones, and we go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, with Senator Fulcher. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Governor. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Fulcher. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. I have a question, if I could. You know, I've been shocked to find that 36% of our budget here is coming from the federal feed trough. That's staggering. I mean, that really shocks myself and my family members. And I've heard you speak that, you know, you would like to get us away from that feed trough, at least more specifically, before the federal government gets itself deeper into the hole. Could you give us just and I'll take this off the phone or off the line.
Oh, bless your heart. We're not going to have 27 follow-ups about the militia today?
No. No, not at all. I just give us a few ideas on what you have on getting us away from the federal feed trough before their dollar isn't worth much.
Well, thank you for the question, Terry, and it is an issue. It's a big issue, and we have not been addressing that in this state. Most people don't know 36% of the state budget of Idaho comes through the federal government, and they're broke. They're worse than broke. They're $18 trillion in debt. And so, frankly, I think we're just not being wise stewards as long as we're depending on a broken source for that much of our budget. There's a couple things we need to do. First thing we need to do is to develop some of the resources that we have within our state, and some of those are on, some of that's on private land, some of that's on state land, some of that's, of course, is federal land. But that is one of the key things that we do to generate economic growth so that we can fiscally start weaning ourselves from this addiction, which is federal money. So the answer to the question is economic growth. Personally, I like the energy the energy industry, we need to be an energy exporter. Any state with a budget surplus is an energy exporter. Idaho is an energy importer. We can do that. We have natural gas in the state we're not developing. We have timber resources that, of course, has to do with the federal land issue that we need to work on with mining and whatnot. It boils down to our resources. But we don't have to get access to the federal land to start weaning ourselves from that federal money. We can do it by developing our energy resources and other natural resources for economic growth to break that addiction.
Senator Russ Folger with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. How do you see this playing out tomorrow?
I think we win. And I say that because I've looked in the eyes of thousands of people who are passionate to make it happen. And they have propped me up. They have encouraged me. They have come alongside of me. They've prayed for me. They have done the hard work in the trenches to make this thing happen. And, you know, frankly, every time I get tired, when I get 3-4 hours sleep at night, I pop on my computer or switch on my phone and I read the last 10 texts and it's somebody from across the state who says, hey, you know what? We're supporting you. Go get them. We're praying for you. Or some word of encouragement. And you know what? That's all I need to, here we go. Let's go do another meeting.
Is this what you thought it would be?
No. No. I never in my wildest dream would I have imagined the level of support that has come into this campaign. The whole Folger name, if you will, has in various parts of the state has turned into an ideal. It's not about me so much. It's about what this campaign is standing for. It's about people controlling their lives, not the government. And that's really the bottom line. It's what it boils down to. Who do we want to control our lives? Do we want the government to do it? We want people to do it. Right now, our status quo is supported by our governor is that the government's going to control our health care. Government's going to control our education. That's just wrong. And people resonate to that. And they see a campaign. They see a vision that has them in control of their lives. They gravitate to it. That's why we win tomorrow.
Some person who may be in control, he's still on suspension. Tea Party Bob joining us now from the Jump State Patriot at 580 KIDO.
Last week of suspension, Kevin. You know that. Good morning. Senator Folger.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. I just have a question here, and it has to do basically with the economy. You know, we're up to our necks in Obamacare and higher costs on health care, and we're going to be up to our necks in Common Core and higher costs for implementation. We're talking millions of dollars. How are we going to eliminate these two problems that we have that are just going to cost the people of Idaho so much money that we really don't have?
Well, first of all, on the healthcare front, we need to create that private-based alternatives infrastructure. And we really don't have to do a full-blown repeal, although I would support that. We don't have to do a full-blown repeal on the Obamacare exchange because we can create an infrastructure for a private superior solution to be put in place, which will naturally migrate, people will naturally migrate to that. Things like a healthcare savings account component, things like the ability to compete for insurance across state lines, things like a direct pay component, so people can shop their services from one physician to another, a charity care type deal, the ability to go buy a healthcare membership, similar to a health club membership. You put those things statutorily in place, people will start coming to that as a superior solution, and we need to do that. Bob, what was the second part of the question? Education.
Yeah, education. You know, Common Core is going to cost a lot of money to implement. We're going into the millions of dollars. How are we going to eliminate this basically unproven teaching method and get it out of Idaho?
From what I understand of what the state of Indiana has done, I like it. And my understanding is what they have said is, look, we want to give our parents, we want to give our teachers, we want to give our administrators the ability to go choose best-in-class type of standards, curriculum, for the specific needs within their demographic. So, for example, if they come across a math curriculum or methodology or standard out of Massachusetts, let's say, that they really like or those stakeholders think are good for their locals, they do that. If they say something out of Idaho for some other piece of curriculum, maybe it's English or whatever, then they go select that. Or maybe internally they have a strong confidence that, hey, you know what we've developed right here in Annapolis, for example, or Gary or whatever, that they can put that in place. It's a best-in-class type of a format that they're going to go get and assemble based on their specific needs. And you know what? That's what happens at Apple Computer. That's what happens at Micron. Those businesses succeed not necessarily by reinventing the wheel, but selecting world-class, best-in-class types of things, and they decide what they want to do locally for their business. And in this case, I think that's a good way to approach the whole education curriculum and standards.
So you want to take everything back to the local level?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Thank you.
Same the follow-ups for the Gem State Patriot.
Take care.
See you, Bob. Our great friend, Tea Party Bob, here at 580KIDO. Much more coming up with Senator Fulcher. We'll take your calls, and we'll talk a little bit more about the economy, the future, and, of course, that big debate. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Senator Russ Fulcher with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. The big day tomorrow. Hard to believe it's here. And I have to ask you this question. What about the debate and the idea of, I think the big winner of the debate was me, because we, three of the four people that were on that debate listened to this program, except Harley didn't, but we've converted him now. So
yeah, well, you know, I felt reasonably good about the portion of the exchange that I was able to conduct, but I was very disappointed that that format played out on such a public forum. And that was, as you know, that was one of the conditions that the governor had in order to have that one particular debate. And nothing against Mr. Brown or Mr. Bayes.
Hey, you were the normal guy.
They deserve to have their voices heard. I just don't think that was the appropriate forum for it. And after all, we're talking about the executive of a state, and that's a big deal. And that really deserves, I think, some scrutiny by the people of Idaho, and that scrutiny and the lack of true discourse between myself and the governor was limited, and I think the people of Idaho deserved that. And plus, I'm also just disappointed that Idaho became such a laughingstock as a function of that across the nation. That's unfortunate.
I would totally agree with you, and it would have been better if public television did the same thing that Channel 7 did and said no debate.
Yeah, and, you know, in my case, I'm the challenger, and so, you know, you take what you can get. I mean, we were trying to get a number of different formats, and across a number of areas in the state, we wanted to have several. We wanted to have one in Coeur d'Alene, one in Idaho Falls, one a couple here in Treasure Valley, and the only one we could get agreement to was this one, and it was under those circumstances, and also no live audience, which was another condition that the governor had. But as a challenger, you take what you can get. So I took what I can get, and I do wonder sometimes if it was prudent.
We go back to the phones, and we go to, let's see, Eric in Cuna at 580KIDO for Senator Fulcher. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, morning, Kevin. Morning, Mr. Fulcher.
Good morning, Eric.
That's surprising. You know, now you just say that the governor didn't want a live audience. That's kind of odd. Anyway, yeah, I liked everything you've been saying, and I haven't completely made up my mind, although I told Governor Honor he probably has my vote, and he probably does.
Oh, wait a minute. You were the guy that you actually gave us a Facebook or whatever about how wonderful the governor was, and you appreciated us having him on. I remember you.
But
yes.
I didn't get to ask some questions, and now I'm going to ask Mr. Fulcher those questions. So my question... Well, I want to ask him what he thinks of that bill that Governor Otter signed protecting us from those executive orders if the feds were to come in and take responsible gun owners' guns. What do you think of that? I can't remember the name of the bill that Governor Otter signed, and that kind of solidified me kind of with Governor Otter, because he did sign that bill protecting us, but he did let in the health exchanges, and I never got to ask him what, you know, because I've been to the doctor's office since then, and the privacy, they've opened up they've opened up our medical records to the federal government now. You know, that's already happened because the health exchanges are in the state. I wanted to ask you what you thought of that, and I also wanted to ask you.
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of questions here.
Sorry about that. My biggest question is, if you became governor, what would you do to quickly, completely get Common Core out? Because I never got to ask the governor anything about Common Core, and I've already seen it trickling in with my daughter. She's in grade school, and I've already seen the weird crap trickling in. Excuse my language. I've already seen it trickling in, and it's not good. We need to go back to our traditional education system that we had in the state.
Well, Eric,
I'll take those answers off the air. Thank you.
All right, Eric.
You just covered a lot of ground there, and so I made a couple of notes here. Let me try it this way. Eric, I think what it boils down to and what all of us need to decide tomorrow is the proper role of government and what do we think that is. And I would submit to you that this decision has to do with, do we want people and our families to be the primary decision makers in our society, or do we want the government to do that? And that's what this is boiling down to. Obamacare is government control. Common Core is government control. And I want my family, I want your family to be making your healthcare decisions, making our healthcare decisions. I want my family to be making the education decisions for my kids. And you need to be doing that for your kids. And so this really boils down to people versus government. A couple of specific things you talked about on the executive order issue. I think you're talking about where the state doesn't enforce or allow enforcement on federal intrusion of gun rights and whatnot. If I recall correctly, and by just what you said, I think that only has to do with the authorizers of the orders against Second Amendment rights, and authorizers only, which is not as impactful as you might think, but still good. And I supported that bill if it's the same one you're talking about. The other issue you mentioned was Common Core, and I touched on that just a little bit earlier. From what I understand about what Indiana has done, I kind of like that approach. It enables and empowers the teachers, the parents, the locals within the various demographics of their state to be able to go out and select best-in-class curriculum standards for their demographic. Eric, always remember, there's a difference in the student base in CUNA versus Meridian versus Caldwell versus Preston versus Detroit versus Chicago versus L.A. And so to take one specific curriculum or standard and try to broad brush that across the state, wrong thing to do. Give our people, give our teachers and parents, the locals, the control to make those decisions.
All right. Final question for Senator Fulcher. We go to Eric in Caldwell at 580KIDO. Hello, Eric.
Good morning, Kevin, and good morning, Senator Fulcher.
Good morning.
So I guess I get the final question, which is apropos, I guess. What do you feel about, or what do you think about what we can do to reform some of the health and welfare issues that we're facing, some of the entitlement things, such as maybe Medicaid or even some of the food stamp programs? What are some of your thoughts on what we can do as a state?
Well, first of all, the topic you just touched on is enormous. We could probably spend about a week on that, but there's a couple things. And you mentioned Medicaid, so let me attack that one. We have money that you already pay through we as taxpayers pay through the county, and that we all pay through the state, called the CAT Fund. It's short for Catastrophic Fund. And we collectively pay somewhere around $65-70 million a year into that bucket of money, if you will. And that is used for indigent care. That is used for the most vulnerable among us to get care. So if someone shows up at the emergency room at the hospital, they can't pay, then that CAT Fund money is used to pay for that. One of the things I think we should do is to take a portion of that money and proliferate clinics such as those that exist in Nampa has been very good with proliferating this, and strategically place some of these clinics around our state with money we've already got to steer the most vulnerable among us to those clinics for non-life-threatening things. If someone shows up at the emergency room at St. Luke's with strep throat, you know what? Chances are they could be redirected fairly easily to a close-by clinic for that care. And that's going to be less costly. It's going to be more effective. And that's a good way to do it. That's just one example with Medicaid. But we've got to be able to be smarter with the money we got.
Eric, thank you for the call. Senator, your final thoughts as you get back on the trail.
Well, you know, the trail is almost to an end. Now it's just punching across that finish line. And, you know, maybe just in closing, I'll say the same thing that I did in what some people call a debate the other night. And that is, do you feel better off than you did 8 years ago? And if you're like most of us, the answer is no. And I do submit it is time to shake up this establishment. We can do this. I'm Russ Fulcher. I'm running for governor, and I want your vote on May 20th.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Kevin, I want to give you a big shout-out, a big thank you for all you do.
You are an American.
You go above and beyond, Kevin. You make a real positive difference in the community.
You are a humanitarian.
You are probably one of the best talk show hosts that I've listened to on the entire West Coast.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Boy, I don't know what we're going to do without all these political ads, but we're going to miss them. You know, it's funny. People are saying to me, both on and off the air, I'll be so happy when this primary is over. I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be sad. Well, Kevin, you're a hater. No, not really. But shouldn't every day in America be a primary day? Shouldn't we be this engaged? And of course, let me ask you this question at 580-5436. Do you think it's the media's job to depress the turnout by telling everybody it's going to be the lowest primary whatever? I mean, does the media know? Do any of these so-called experts really know how many voters are going to vote tomorrow? Well, it's going to be a depressed turnout because it's a closed primary. Maybe it'll be the largest turnout since 2010. You know, that was supposed to be a depressed turnout. I'm just sitting there, and I think, unfortunately, it's like, you know, the media has become, instead of the purveyor of truth or reporting, just the masters of the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Ain't no plans with a man. It's the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
What's that, equal time?
If it's the 80s, we ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
By the way, on an unrelated note, our friend Brian Fisher has a new blog out. And Brian Fisher works for a conservative agency, so he can do what he wants. But we sure do miss him in Idaho. Brian Fisher, Mitt Romney, the godfather. Ouch. I don't know if anybody in the secular media could get away with that, but interesting column. But what I'm trying to say is, back to the gay marriage issue, and back to the gays, and back to this primary, it's all interrelated, that we have the press basically saying that the turnout is going to be depressed. So people don't want to go vote because the press tells them. It's just like everybody saying, oh, gay marriage is here to stay, better get in line, times are changing. Well, times are changing on network television. That doesn't mean times are changing here. And, you know, I'm just sitting here listening to this and laughing about it, and I'm thinking to myself, man, amazing. When I think of the media taking sides, how ridiculous was it? I mean, there are two things going on in Idaho. We had the unfortunate local coverage of what's going to happen at Boise City Hall, where they had a party. But they weren't celebrating anything. They were celebrating gay marriage coming to Idaho. Well, gay marriage, as Kevin Miller predicted, not so fast, my friends, has not come to Idaho. And yet, we had everybody, because we're so desperate for stories, or the media has an agenda. I don't think it was a legitimate story. And I think it was the front page of the paper on Saturday as well, where gay marriage party, but there's no gay marriage. And you'd had people going, look at all the food, look at all this. And where is the resistance? Look, if the media needs somebody who is the captain of the resistance, who's going to speak up for conservative family values, give me a call. I'd be more than happy to talk about Idaho's right to determine marriage, between a man and a woman. The mantle that Brian Fisher had, we would gladly take that up here. Look at all the people in 06 that voted. 63%. There's no way that's changed. To me, it's gotten even stronger. And yet you have the news media that has not given any time to people that defend marriage between a man and a woman. So the self-fulfilling prophecy continues. That's where it's at. And I don't believe that it's going to be a low turnout tomorrow. I think it's going to be a high turnout. And I wish and I pray and I speak that we were all so politically engaged as we will be tomorrow. And we should be even more so. You know, we talk about the sycophantic sports fans. Well, there's Timmy. He's got a new jockstrap. That's wonderful for Timmy. But having a new jockstrap, playing before however many thousand people, does not determine the outcome, does not determine whether or not we're going to have an increase in fuel tax, does not determine whether or not we're going to have more Obamacare, does not determine whether or not we're going to have Medicaid expansion, does not determine whether we like the way the laws, the courts are going. Now, say what you want. And let me just say, put it out there, and I'll probably do this a lot tomorrow at 580-5436. But I want to thank everybody who stepped up and decided to run, whether you're high financed or not financed at all. Thank you for being a part of the process. You know, it's easy to hate. It's easy to complain. It's not so easy to go out and do campaigning while you're working your real job or give up your job to take on the most powerful man in the state of Idaho. And if you're the most powerful man in the state of Idaho, heck, you've got a great life. To want to go for a third term, that's commendable as well. And we talk about the lack of good people. I will tell you one campaign that has given us a black eye and shows you how bad politics are. But the other ones, the 5 of 6, have been darn right inspirational. We'll talk about that next. Plus, the Today Show takes a shot at Idaho. We'll get your thoughts. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Time for traffic. Good morning, Dave.
Ave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:54, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, the day before the big primary day. We go to Dan in Caldwell at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm talking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller. Go ahead, please, on 580 KIDO.
Okay, well, I have a question. I mean, you're saying that you support all Idahoans, you're all this, defend them. So how is being against gay rights not obviously hypocritical?
Because the people of Idaho voted in 2006 to define marriage between a man and a woman, and I support the constitutional amendment.
Well,
how is that against being gay rights and saying, really, was there a news story when the gay marriage wasn't legalized in Idaho, but we still had a party and, oh, look, there's hors d'oeuvres.
So this is the state of Idaho is 100% democracy.
No, it's
majority
a
rules.
It's a republic.
Is that what you're saying?
It's a republic, sir. And if you go
well,
to the
republic,
where it's a, what do you mean define republic? Look, here's the deal. 2006, the Idaho folks had a constitutional amendment. 63% of them defined marriage between a man and a woman. You go to the Windsor decision in the Supreme Court, it's supposed to be a state's rights issue. The state decided. The federal judge says it's discriminatory. The Ninth Circuit has allowed the stay. I don't think it's a news story worthy of celebrations at City Hall, quite frankly. I think that the people decided, and if it were put to a vote again today, it would be the same thing.
But what about their rights? I mean, if this is a republic, isn't the republic supposed to protect rights from the majority? Isn't that the purpose of a republic?
Right, but it hasn't been decided whether or not gay rights or gay marriage is constitutional.
How can it not be?
It hasn't been.
Why isn't it?
Dan, I guess you and I disagree on this, but the Supreme Court, and I said this last week, had a chance to define same-sex marriage as a constitutional right, and they chose to punt in the Windsor decision. Now you have federal judges in New Mexico and Utah and Idaho, in Arkansas, in Virginia, across the country, deciding that the same-sex quote-unquote ban or defining marriage between a man and a woman is not constitutional. And until it goes back up to the Supreme Court, I think you're going to have this debate continuing.
So gays are a second-class citizen, in other words.
Those are your words, not mine.
The majority says.
Well,
I don't see how does it affect anybody but them?
Well, how do you define marriage? I mean, if you redo the definition of marriage, who's to say you can't marry more than one person?
That doesn't...
Who's to say that polygamists don't have rights?
I don't know. I didn't pass the law.
Right.
Well, I think maybe they should.
You think polygamy should be brought back?
Well, if that's what people want to do, what's wrong with it?
Well, let's say people want to kill people. Shouldn't they be allowed to kill people?
Well, now you're talking, that's a different category because that's a violence against another. That's disrespect against another who didn't ask for it.
Well, let me do this, Dan. Why don't give me a call sometime this week when we have a little bit more time, and I don't want to cut you off, but I'm letting you know we got to bolt on here. I'd like to continue this conversation. Would you do that for me?
Maybe not, just because of circumstance. It's not that I don't want to.
Well, okay.
When the circumstance changes, I will call you back.
All right. Thank you, Dan. There's a definitive answer. Sounds committed. Good morning, Dave. 580 KIDO. Coming up next, Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, your chance to win $1,000 right here at 580 KIDO. Good luck. Godspeed. Keep the faith. Serving Emmett.